Welcome to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, where we specialise in succession law, civil disputes and litigation in Queensland. If you want to safeguard your assets, navigate estate planning with confidence, or resolve legal conflicts effectively, you're in the right place. Join me each week as we break down complex legal issues into clear, practical insights, helping you protect your legacy and find solutions with certainty. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm your host, Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, and we are at the last week of March already, first quarter done and dusted, and we are finishing off our topic for this month being Will Basics 101 with a discussion about a will versus a letter of wishes and what the differences are. So when you come and do your estate planning with me, which I hope that you do, I give a complimentary letter of wishes template that sits alongside your will. So a will is really for binding directions to your executor. And in the will, we deal with items of value, your residue estate, guardianship, you know, who the executors are. Those are all things that are really for a will. Now, a letter of wishes are non-binding. It's a non-binding letter that sits next to your will. So quite often it is given to the executors or beneficiaries after you've passed away. And it deals with a number of items that aren't testamentary intentions. Okay. It's not a codicil to a will. The idea is it's just non-binding wishes about things that are relevant to you after you pass, but just not binding in nature, that don't really fall under the Succession Act. So my letter of wishes templates deal with things like reasonings as to the testamentary trust. Some people like to put in there, and I have some like boilerplate clauses that I put in there that are just basics about the reasons why someone has chosen a testamentary trust, but you're also welcome to add in additional directions. So some examples are, you know, I'd love you to keep the family home for a certain period of time. You know, you're welcome to live there. Think about this. You should contact my financial advisor about the investments that I have. Those kinds of things I find people often like to put in, giving some reasoning behind why they've chosen a testamentary trust, for example, in their will. A letter of wishes, I also put in directions to guardians. So if you have minor children, what you want your minors to do in terms of schooling, extracurricular activities, religious values, who you want them to spend holidays with. So that kind of detail. Also deal with pets in there. If people are not, I have two sorts of people, people that are very strict on what happens to their pets. Pets are their babies, and we will often put pets in will. They're considered property. We will put them in will. Or I have people that are like, I have this great dog or cat, don't need a binding wish, but this is ideally what I'd like to happen with the pet. So those people, we put a direction about pets in the letter of wishes. It also deals with digital assets and digital accounts. So you can put some detail in there, and I've got a kind of a pre-filled form about what you'd like to happen to your digital assets and digital accounts after you've passed. And of course, funeral and cremation directions, and also a section around personal belongings. So what I find for lots of people, and I'd say this is probably funeral and cremation might be my main reason, but the other main reason people do a letter of wishes is really around this personal belongings. So what I find is lots of people have items that aren't of huge value, but are of a huge sentimental value to them. And they'll say, you know, like this book collection, it's not like super valuable, but it means something to me. And I'd love my grandchildren to be able to select what books they want out of the collection before it's donated, you know. So those kinds of things, maybe some, you know, family heirlooms that don't have a huge value but have sentimental value. Like, I'd like you to have my, well, Dalton crystal set. I'm just making things up as I go. But those kinds of things where it's not, you don't want it to be binding. You don't want it to they're not value enough to be binding under the will, but you just like to say, hey, for these things, this is what I want to happen. Some people are particular about what kind of charities they'd want their personal belongings to be donated to. So they might put that in a letter of wishes along the lines of like, hey, executor, like all my clothes to go to this particular charity, that kind of thing. So those non-binding wishes, feelings you have about your estate, all those little bits and pieces that you think about. I always put the financial advisor's details in there, the letter of wishes as well, because that's a great place for an executor to start. Once someone has died, it's a good place to kind of to go to get some information about the estate. And you can put, you know, a lovely letter to your children or your beneficiaries. I'll never forget last year I had a wonderful client who wrote a letter to her children, and it was such a beautiful combination of what she wants to happen to her estate, but also just her feelings about her kids. And we were honestly, both of us were like in tears at her appointment, because I also have, you know, I have kids as well. And it was just such a beautiful letter that she had written to her children. And so it can be used in that manner as well. I guess the point that I want to make, it's just that it's non-binding. So the letter of wishes is non-binding. So if you're very particular, if you're very set on what you want to happen about an item, definitely put it in the will. But the letter of wishes is really about all those other things, non-binding directions, things that you would like to happen, you know, practically. If it doesn't work out, it's fine, but this is my wishes. So I do encourage people to do them. The beauty of a letter of wishes is that they can be updated without my involvement. So I give a Word template, you can amend it, and all you have to do is sign it and keep it with a copy of your will, and send a copy to me to keep with a copy of your will that I keep as well. And it's really only read at the time of death, not prior. So it is a really good resource. I know lots of people take a lot of time and effort to do them, and I think that that is fantastic, but it's really just kind of what you think that you want to do. So that's kind of, you know, will versus letter of wishes and what I think about them. If you love this idea of a letter of wishes and you'd like to get one, use my template and prepare one, you can hop on my website, www.vicarlaw.com.au, book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar. And you can also, I think that I maybe have an article, oh, well, we'll have an article after this episode is released on there about letter of wishes as well. So as I mentioned, March is done. Will Basics 101 is done and dusted. So I hope that has given you a nice overflow of wills in Queensland. Next month, we are going to switch to another important document and talk about enduring powers of attorney. So the basics of an enduring power of attorney, which is really important, I think. Really important because the would I call it a high growth area? I guess it is a high growth area of my firm, is really around this elder law piece, enduring powers of attorney, people's use of them, people's misuse of them. So I think it's a really important topic, because if you've listened to me before, you'll know enduring power of attorney, you're alive, but you can't make these decisions for yourself. So super important document, which we're going to get into in April. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I will speak to you next time. Bye. That's a wrap for this episode of the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I hope you found today's insights helpful in navigating your legal journey. If you're ready to take the next step in securing your legacy or finally dealing with your dispute, you can pop on my website, www.vicarlaw.com.au, to book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar. You can also subscribe to our newsletter or find out more about today's topic. Your future begins now, and we're here to guide you every step of the way. Until next time, I'm Lydia Vicar, signing off.
The Vicar Podcast comprises general information and does not serve as a substitute for professional advice. Prior to making any legal decisions, individuals are advised to seek independent professional guidance and assess the suitability of this information for their own individual goals and objectives.